may be seated. This morning I would like to talk about the life that is in the Word. We know that Jesus taught us that His words were spirit and that they were life. And that is what He said in John 6 and 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we know that the Word of God is life to us, and even our new birth is determined by the Word of God being quickened and made alive in us. The Apostle Peter taught us that the new birth is brought about by the Word of God as a seed being quickened to us and in us. In 1 Peter 1 and 23 we read, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. And therefore, without the Word of God being made alive in you, you will never understand what the kingdom of God is all about." That is what Jesus said in John 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see." In other words, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 13 verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." Now, there's many that hear it. But to understand it makes a difference, because he says, "Which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundred, some 60, and some 30." And William Brown taught us that the word "see" means to understand. He said, it shall be even as it was told. No matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word "see" means to understand. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again, see? You have to accept it by faith, and then when he comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with it, not what you're looking at, but what you believe, what you understand to be the truth, what you're looking at, the unseen, then stay with that. That's why all these visions. And I just lay my life right on the line, for it never fails. I have faith in it. I believe it. If I can get you to believe the same thing, then it's over. And from 1 John 1 and verse 1 we read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Now, the reason it is important to see what God is doing right now, which the kingdom of God is not a place, but it is the king himself and his people. And a kingdom is not a physical location, it is a king and his people. You can have a country that is not a kingdom. It's just a country, it's a nation, unless it has a king. But a kingdom has got to have a king. And the kingdom of God is the place where God lives. It's the influence of his life that his life has in the lives of people. That is why Jesus said, "It is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The life is within you. The king is in your midst, and you live a life worthy of his gospel. Therefore, without a new birth, you will never understand the kingdom, and you will never understand the message of the king." Now, what I want to look at this morning is the next several paragraphs of Brother Branham's sermon, The Masterpiece. And in this, we find Brother Branham talking about the life moving on, and he talks about the life in the stock, then it's in the tassel, and then finally, it goes up into the shuck and into the seed. And he talks about how that in each of these different parts of the plant, the stalk, the tassel, the husk, and then in the seed, when the life travels up the plant, as the plant grows from its root to the stalk to the tassel to the husk, the life is traveling on in that plant. And eventually the life that is in each part, to give that that part life, it must leave that part as it journeys up into the fruit. Now we know that Jesus Christ is the light of life. For that is where what the scripture declares to us, and that is what our personal Christian experience also declares. In John 8 and verse 12 we read, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And the Apostle Paul tells us that it is the light that makes manifest. In Ephesians 5 and verse 13 we read, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And of course you cannot have any greater light than the epiphany of Christ. Because the word epiphania means the shining forth. That is what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and 10. "But is now made manifest by the epiphany, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So he's letting us know that by the shining forth, all things were made manifest. That is why that I believe that when the doctrine strikes your life will either manifest Christ's life or it'll manifest an earthly, sensual, beastly life, because it'll manifest what you are. Now, John told us that Christ is our life, and he is our light. In John chapter 1, verse 4, we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And when we come to the light, it will manifest our works that we have in our body. That's why in John 3 and verse 20, it says they won't come to the light, lest their deeds be made manifest. But in verse 21, it says, "But he that does come to the light, he comes that his deeds may be manifest, that they had their source in God, that they were wrought in God." But if we run from the light, it is because our life is not manifesting God life, but our own wickedness in this flesh. The Apostle John also said in 1 John 1 and 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And in the book of Revelations, we're told that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, Revelation 21 and 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." So notice the nations that are saved, the peoples that are saved, are walking in the light. Those are the ones that walk in the light. So if you wish to be saved, there is only one way to be saved, and that is to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all your sin. And the word walk means to live. So you must live in the light as he is in the light, if you wish to be a part of that New Jerusalem, and if you wish to be cleansed. In Deuteronomy, the book of two laws, God teaches us how to walk in the light of his glorious presence. Now, as we read this scripture, it'll do you no good unless you read it for yourself and you apply your own situation in it. In fact, the Bible itself will do you no good unless you read your own self into that verse that you're reading. That is how we should read all of God's word, as though that he has written it personally to you. Then it comes alive to you. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 18 through verse 24. Actually, we read to verse around verse 32. He says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home." Well, I ask the question, do you talk to your children when you're sitting at home? "And when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." That's why in my house, you see in every room of the house, a picture that reminds me that we're just on a journey. "So that the days of your, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." How many days is that? He says, "As many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." That's eternity. In other words, he's talking about an eternal relationship, an eternal mindset. It begins by teaching your children at home. If you carefully observe all the commands that I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all the nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place that you set your foot will be yours. Now there are over 800 promises in the scripture for our taking. 800 promises. And he said every step that you take in your journey with God, where you are walking in the light as he is in the light, you must claim them for your own. They're yours. What good is a will if your name's on it and you don't claim it? Your territory will extend from the desert, well, in our case, I believe that was Kentucky, to Lebanon. Well, that's good. It's right there in the Bible for us. That is where our new church will be located, Lebanon, Ohio. That's the near city. And from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea, in our case, I believe that's probably the Pacific Ocean. No man will be able to stand against you. I like that. I like that. No man will be able to stand against you. You know, it's a personal thing to know that you have a guarantee like that from God. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. And you know, that's happened. A man that opposed the doctrine coming to Africa the first time, when he found out that I was coming, the next day, he hung up the phone, he went to his room, and he dropped dead before his wife could get him in the car and out the driveway. The fear of the Lord was so strong that when we came, the Lord's presence was very mighty in those meetings. And it started a revival in Uganda, and it swept through Africa. And it's continuing to sweep through Africa. And he said, no man will be able to stand against you. Now, either he said it or he didn't. If you've got someone that's really giving you a hard time, you take this before God. Give it back to God. Don't try to fight the battle yourself. Just let go and let God. He'll take care of it for you. You see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a cursing. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following after other gods, which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim its blessings and curses towards the setting of the sun. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and the laws that I am setting before you today. So you see, we must continue to walk in the light, or that very light will become a witness against you. And we cannot stop walking in the light if we expect to enter into that city. We must walk as the pillar of fire is leading. In a sermon on Hebrews chapter 6, Brother Branham said, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I like Paul saying those things. Paul never was a person that liked to stay too long in one place. He liked to move on deeper. One time in the scripture he said, forgetting those things which are in the past, I press toward the mark of the high calling. So he keeps pressing on. Here he said, now forgetting the principles of the doctrine of Christ, who he was, what he was, let's go on to perfection. And that brings us to the next few paragraphs that Brother Branham speaks from the masterpiece, in which he deals with this thought that the life continues on in each part of the plant that once had the life in it, then dies out and is useful only for the burning. You know, when you begin to examine the initial doctrine of any denomination, you find that there was a light that inspired those people in their day. Look at the day of Luther. The just shall live by faith. Such a true thing. And yet, the word has continued to move out. It moved into sanctification, and Wesley swept the world with sanctification. But it continued to move on into an infilling of the Holy Ghost. And finally, in this day, to the Holy Ghost himself. The word keeps moving on, and when people stop, and the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire moves on, that's when they begin to lose any life that was in them. Brother Branham says from paragraph 114, he says, you know, I read a book here not long ago. Someone wrote a book and said, The Silent God. You might have read it. I forget. I think Brumback or no. I'm not sure who it was that wrote it. I can't remember. I got it in my study, The Silent God. It said, God, 2,000 years of dark ages, sat still, never moved a hand, and watched faithful martyrs go to the lion's pit and be burnt by the Romans, assassinations of all kinds, women stripped of their clothes, set fire to their long hair with tar and burned them. Remember, short hair first began in Rome. And the women of Christians had long hair, so they dipped it in tar and set them on fire and burned them and them naked and fed them to the lions. And this writer goes on to say, where is that God? Oh, the blindness of men sometimes. Do you not know that the seed had to die? He never tried to deliver a one of them. They went down in victory. They went down bleeding and dying, giving their lives. Why? It was a seed. It had to fall into the ground. In John 12 tells us the corn of wheat has got to fall into the ground and there die, and not only die, but to rot. But little did the denominations know that the life that was still in there. Though the church in itself, at the Nicene Council of 15 years of bloody political debate, when their aristocrats came in and wanted to inject these big dignitaries into the church, and the prophets came out of that wilderness there, eating herbs and wrapped in animal skins, genuine prophets, and they throw them out. Why? The seed's got to fall into the ground. It's got to die. It died in the dark ages down before, beneath the dark dirt. They thought it was gone. You know, in St. John 12:24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. And the first church was that reproduction, that bride, that seed, that word made manifest that fell into the ground at Nicaea, Rome. Listen, church. Throughout the nations that'll hear this, there is your dirt. It's them denominations. There's where the word was crucified and they accepted dogma. And for hundreds and hundreds of years of dark ages, the power and manifestation of the word was hid from the world. Only Catholicism ruled. We all know that as reading history. Only Catholicism ruled. But you can't hide a germinative seed. It's got to come forth. Because why? The great sculptor is on the job, going to build again. So the seed went down the word. When we see St. Paul, St. James, Peter, James, and John, all those who wrote the word, and the word that they wrote become alive, and it lived. And it lived. And when we find after it began to get ripe, John began to write in epistles. He was thrown on the Isle of Patmos after being burnt in oil for 24 hours. But the word must come forth. It's got to be wrote. They couldn't boil the Holy Ghost out of him with oil. And so he came forth. His work wasn't finished. He died a natural death. Polycarp, which was a disciple of John, he carried the word on. And from Polycarp came Irenaeus, and Irenaeus, the great man of God, who believed this very same gospel that we believe. The word is right. The church is trying to squeeze it out. Finally, he came to Nicaea, Rome. And there she fell into the ground after St. Martin and was murdered. St. Martin believed the very same thing that we believe. He stood the same thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in water in Jesus' name. He stood in the very same thing that we do. As he was a prophet, and he believed the full word of God, and finally they were crucified and mashed into the ground and laid there for hundreds of years until it rotted, that outside seed. The old bodies just rotted away. I've been in San Angelo in the catacombs and see where they died and their broken bones and everything, and they finally rotted in their bones and until their bones were gone, but the life was still there. The corn of wheat that fell into the ground at the Nicene Council began to sprout again in Martin Luther. Like any corn coming up or wheat, after the seed rots, the life springs forth. And it begins to bring forth a Martin Luther. And what did he do the first thing? Reject the denomination of Catholicism. He protested that it was wrong. For he said, the just shall live by faith. And what was it? A little weak life that put up a couple little shoots. And that was the Lutherans. It surely don't look like the grain that went into the ground, but the life is coming out now. Then it went on into the stalk. Then what happened in the days of John Wesley? What did he do when he brought out sanctification? He stayed with the word. And what did it do? The Lutherans had organized and made an organization. So it was time for something to happen. And the masterpiece is being built now. And what did he do? What did he do? He protested the Anglican Church and he came out in the Reformation as a tassel. And what is it? The seed's coming to life and is growing now. Now the stalk doesn't look like the seed. Neither does the tassel. But the Pentecostal brothers throughout the nations, I want you to listen, my brother. If this is the last message I'll ever preach, this is my masterpiece. Do you notice that the wheat, the corn of wheat that falls into the ground, when it begins to form back in it, in its grain again? Watch nature. Nature exactly is God. God working in nature is all it can. But from the Pentecostal revival, as they think, was the seed. It wasn't. Now watch. But something come forth just like the seed. Now watch what Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, that the two spirits at the last days would be so close together it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Now that stalk don't look nothing like a seed. Neither does the tassel look anything like a seed. But notice now, not in Luther's day, but in this day, the first day, there's wheat, farmers setting here. And the first thing that comes forth on a wheat seed, you almost think that it was a seed. But what is it? It's the husk. It forms a little outside thing like to hold the seed. It forms a husk. But the husk is not the seed no more than the tassel or the stalk was. It was only a carrier of the life, the corn of wheat, that then in St. John 12, you see Jesus speaking. The wheat, after the tassel, after Wesley put forth the husk, which is the foremost like the grain or anything, the husk is more like the grain, is coming more like the grain all the time. And the one that went into the ground, and when it comes forth, the stalk, it's got life in it, but it sure isn't the grain. Comes forth the tassel, the pollen, it still isn't the grain. And then it comes forth into the husk, and it's just in the shape of the wheat. Just exactly like the grain of wheat, but yet it isn't the wheat. Now, how many of you have seen that before? You take that little husk, you take the little wheat, and you start to peel it, and there's like a wrapper on the outside, and that's your husk. All that's good for is burning, fertilizer. But the seed is inside of there. And yet that husk is in the same shape as a seed. You see? But it's not. And so it's very deceiving. And the Pentecostals come out just like the wheat. Like the wheat would. Each one comes out from the other, coming out from the other, but they're only a carrier. They go to denomination, and that's what Pentecost did, went to denomination. And what did Pentecost do when it come out, just like the grain? It went right back, like the Revelation 17, to one of the sister denominations. That's exactly what Jesus said. Now watch, the gospel is going to come out through Luther, through Wesley, through Pentecost, and at the last days it'll deceive the very elected if possible, the elected. Oh, Pentecostal brothers, can't you see? The wheat is in its first beginnings, is just like the seed when it begins to form like the wheat, like the seed. But it's the husk. It denominated, exactly done the same thing that they did down there in Luther. In Revelation 17, it proves the same thing of the churches. Now the grain seed in the original fell at Nicaea, for it was the first denomination. And notice here the life that was in the stalk, the tassel, all now ends up in the seed. The life that comes out of the original seed, it comes up through different processes, three different processes, and then turns back till its original condition. Hallelujah. Oh my, I'm the happiest person in the world that God would let me see this. Watch how perfect the word nature works together. Just like we proved the resurrection. Arise, the sun setting and the sun rising again. The leaf going out of the tree in the sap into the root and comes down and back up, and the leaf comes back up. And it's again and falls on the ground. And the life of the tree sucks it right back. And the calcium and potassium brings it up, right up to another leaf again. See? All nature, everything works right with the Word of God. And here it is exactly, perfectly in these church ages. That's the reason the Holy Ghost come down and draw these things out and made them out for us the way that He has. That's exactly. And notice here that the life that was in the husk and in the stalk and in the tassel and in the husk all gathers in the seed, and the life that was in the stalk, it went, and one went to make the other. And justification made a way for sanctification. And sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. But what denominational dies, like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley went to make Pentecost, and from Pentecost went to make the original seed. Onto, and Pentecost comes out of the Wesley until that time. And the reason that the Pentecostal come out of the Wesley, because it was no denomination. Pentecostal was. Then Pentecost went to denomination. And what did it do? It turned back to the husk. Or turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. And anybody. And how many ever seen a seed of wheat start to grow? What's the first little thing? It's just exactly like the seed, but it's the husk. See the three stages. The stalk, tassel, or the pollen, then the husk. And then out of the husk comes the original seed. Not a seed, it was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Amen. Amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection, coming back to the masterpiece again, like the one that went in. Pentecost came out of Wesley, because the Wesley was an organization. Pentecost came out as no organization and then turned to one. It had to make the husk, the true word of life, the true word of life on it was on its way then to the original grain through these stages, through the stalk, then into the pollen, then from the pollen into the husk, and from the husk it made the seed, from the stalk, tassel, and husk. So you see what Brother Branham is laying out for us here. Well, let's go on. 140. Living, they produced their early revival, a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. So you see, in every one of those, there was seed life there. But when they organized, the life moved out. That's proved by all history. Never an organization ever did a thing. After it organized, it was dead. That's right. Watch the life traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice what they had done. All these have done is proved by history, just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Organization is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all the history of the church after it organized, but what that it died. And the organization died and never did rise again. Can't you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the Word coordinating together and proving it right here that this is the truth. That is the truth. That life leaves a stalk to make the tassel. And from the tassel, it makes the husk. And from the husk, it goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. How noticeable this life is in its travel, in the corn of wheat, than it is in the tree. God called the people like a tree, see? The life goes down into the tree and comes back up again. Goes down, comes back up, see? It goes down and comes back up again. But in the corn of wheat, it goes up from the original stalk through the stalk, the tassel, and husk. And the thing that it passes through dies, so it can't get back through it again. Then what about this message? Now, Brother Brown said the message itself will never denominate, and the Word of God has never denominated. The problem is that people have taken a portion of the Word and denominated that portion. In Luther, in Wesley, in Pentecost. And when they focus on that portion, and they stop at that portion, that's when they die. And the thing of it is, it passed through, it dies, so it can't get back through it again. What is it? It's no use anymore. It goes on to its perfection. Amen. Don't you see why he never uses an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to the other. They put creeds and inject, and whosoever shall add one word or take one word out, he's backed off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. I'm using this as a parable now. The bride, the masterpiece that's coming forth. There's a masterpiece that fell. There's a masterpiece rising. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea, Rome. After Nicaea, Rome, she's come through a process. But she's coming right back again to the masterpiece, perfected, because she's a part of that word that was spoken by him. You'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It'll not be connected anyway with any kind of organization or denomination, the cursed thing. It's passed through those such things, but it'll never be there. Notice the seed is coming up. The life is coming up. Now, going back, there'll be no more resurrection after this. The life is coming up to go in its perfection, a resurrection. Notice the husk put forth. Notice the husk puts the original seed out of itself. In Revelation, the third chapter, we find this. Now, remember, no other church was he put out of in the Bible, of the Bible ages. How many remembers it? He passed through the church ages to go to make something else. But this is it. There's nothing else. But the sculptor has got to go to perfection again, the Word. See? Don't go back how different it is. And so Brother Brown mentions about how, notice it's only in Laodicea that he's outside trying to get in. All the other ages, Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis, and all those ages, he was in the church. But now he's out. You see, he passed through the tassel, he passed through the stalk, he passed through all these things, the husk. Now he's on the outside. Oh, and notice then, the husk, when it comes forth, it looks just like the grain. But when the grain life begins to leave the husk to go in to make the grain, the bride, the husk opens up and excommunicates the grain. Is that right in nature? That's exactly what she did. In Revelation 3, we find out in Laodicean Church Age, they put him out. Now, see, it didn't back in other ages because there was something else yet to be made. It just passed through and went on to the other. I told you all along, there's no more denomination coming. We're at the end. And they put him out. Because why? He's the Word again. He's like the one that fell down there. He's the same doctrine that come forth from the beginning. And when you see the Word begins to grow forth, the husk puts it from itself. The life leaves all the others to follow it. That's the true believers. They follow the life wherever the life goes. Amen. And from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Bram said, and now you go back and you try to live again. What if that life took back down? You think that the life will ever talk, go back after that old shucks dried up, ever go back and live in it again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it comes to pass, they are dead. And the thorns and thistles which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned, is that right? Now, hurrying just as quick as I can. You've got to move on with the word, or you will die and shrivel up in your walk with God. That is no different than if you take a plant that you're growing outside and you move it into your basement and you seal up the basement so that no light can come down there. That plant, no matter how much you water it and how much you spray it and give it fertilizer, it will not grow without light. And then people wonder why they can sit home and listen to the same tapes that they've been listening to for years and years and years and not have a victorious life and not have a life where the Word of God is everywhere. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, for the life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Dead men don't grow. Dead plants don't grow. And they don't increase, except if they are recently dead, then they bloat. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, the doxa of the Lord, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment of the Lord, were changed into the same image. From glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, from assessment to assessment, from judgment to judgment, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not you then doing it, it's God doing it for you. Now the Apostle Paul told us here that when we look into the mirror of the Word, we are changed into the image that we see in that mirror, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our light. And then he tells us that we are changed from image to image and glory to glory, and we know that this glory comes from the Greek word doxa, and so we're changed into God's opinion. So it tells us we are changed into the image of Christ, who is our light, and we are changed from one opinion to another, and to another, and to another, until we come into the very mind of God. We are also told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Change is a part of life. It's part of growing. It's a part of living. You change your skin every 7 years. You change your hair every 7 years. The follicles change. There's a purging. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If you stop changing, you stop living. The plant cells, those cells change on a regular basis. Now therefore, if this man claims to never have changed, because people say, well, I've been in the message 40 years and I've never changed what I preached. Well, you haven't. You're dead, that's all. You're just telling us you're dead. He was a oneness 40 years ago. He's still a oneness today. So we all have a hope of being changed. And we receive our transformation, our change, by the renewing of the mind. So if the mind is not willing to be renewed, there's no hope. In Romans 12 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may be proved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again in Colossians 3 and 10, he said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Now, the evidence that you have put on the new man is that you have been renewed in knowledge of him. But what if you have not been renewed in your mind? Like the man who says, well, I haven't changed in 40 years. Then what? The Apostle Paul further tells us in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, to renew does not mean to make new again. The Greek word that was used here means to renovate or to reform. And we do not renovate something unless it has become worn out and needs repair. And we do not reform someone unless that person needs a change of the mind from that which was corrupt to that which thinks right. And we're told in Hebrews 6 that those who have fallen away from the once-for-all enlightenment, that it is impossible for them to renew their mind again. If they shall fall away, to renew again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open chain. Therefore, what we must conclude from the reading of the Scripture is that if a man claims to not change, and he claims he has been preaching the same thing for the last 40 years, and by now it would have been 50 years for this particular preacher, because I heard him say that about 10 years ago, then to not change shows that you're either dead and cannot change, or you have crystallized your thinking like Lot's wife, because she became crystallized in her thinking and she turned into a pillar of salt. Or the third conclusion that we could have to make concerning that person that cannot change is that they have turned down the once-for-all enlightenment, as the Apostle Paul said. For it is impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, which is a change of the mind. Now notice, he said that they could not renew them to repentance, and we know that repentance is a change of the mind. So these are not capable of renewing their mind. So what does that tell you about such a character? It tells you that they have crucified in themselves the Word of God afresh. So you see, I would not want to be in that man's shoes for all the white throne judgment. Not for one moment. Why? Because he's admitting to his statement that he has crucified the Word of God afresh and put it to an open shame. Now you might say, well, Brother Kasorik, those are pretty strong words. Well, this man who claimed to never have changed, also called the parousia, which is the light moving on, he called it puke. So we see Brother Branham's illustration of walking in the light one step at a time is very necessary to the life that is willing to be changed. Therefore, as we are in the natural, you've got to eat to sustain your life, to keep your energy up. Thus, God has made us in the spiritual to eat from the tree of life on a daily basis to keep up your spiritual energy. There's an old saying that says, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And it does. The light that he holds only provides for us step by step. So we've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Notice then, the light represents the presence of the living God, and where there is the most light coming from any ministry is where the Spirit of God is working presently. And so we see then that if we walk in the light, we have life, because the light brings life. The light manifests light. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for these words from Brother Branham, letting us see how the life at one point was in the stalk. And the stalk was thriving. It was green. It was vibrant. It represented the word manifested for the hour. But then when that hour passed and the stalk kept growing, went into the tassel. The stalk began to dry up, but the tassel was now green. The tassel was now flexible. The tassel now had the life in it. But as the life kept growing and moving on, it left the tassel and went into the husk. And the husk was green and vibrant and very lovely on the outside. But then as the life began to form in the seed, with inside the husk, the life left the husk and the husk dried out. And the life went out of the husk. And so we see how the Word of God has come up through denomination. But it never stopped in denomination. It kept moving on, moving on, moving on until the Alpha has become Omega. Until the original seed has come forth again. And so, Father, we see how we must walk in the light. We must live in the light, as you are in that light, that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, would cleanse us from all sin, and that we'd have fellowship one with another. And we know that the nations that are saved walk in the light thereof. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to the light. Help us never to lose our walk in that light. For as Israel followed the pillar of fire, you provided for them their clothing, their food, their essentials. And so, Father, we pray that as we walk in your light, you'll provide all things that we have, for all things shall work together for the good of those that love you and are thee called according to your purpose. And now we commit all of these things into thy keeping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if we